So, have you ever tried to do something that was clearly meant to be a two-person job, but you didn't have anybody else to help you, so you're just like, well, I guess I'm going to have to figure out how to hold this and screw this. I know I've talked to farmers, and they say pretty much all the jobs would be better off with a second person, but that's not necessarily the case. In fact, that's rarely the case. You just got to figure out how to make do. I had that situation a few weeks ago. We had movie night, and we'd taken that big 10-foot screen down in the fellowship hall when we painted. And it was Friday, and I thought, well, I need to get this thing up. Well, it's from the 50s. It's 2 feet bigger than any screen you can buy anymore, and it weighs like 40 pounds. And it had to go 16 feet in the air, and we had a rickety 12-foot ladder. And I'm like, yep, I guess I'm doing this on my own. So, you know, balancing and climbing and going up, it probably wasn't the safest thing for me to be doing, and it would have been much easier with a partner, but I thought, you know what, I've just got to get it done, I'm going to make a way. Or maybe you've had to do a job that totally wasn't you, but you were the only person to do it. So maybe you've had to give a speech at something and you absolutely hate standing up in front of people and being the one that all the eyes and attention are on. Or maybe you had to take care of all the details of something and you are not at all a detail person. A couple of months ago, I tried to lead the final song up here. It was a hymn. It was only one verse and I'm like, Michelle, we don't need the worship band to do it. I can do it. I totally botched it. Some of you may remember, hopefully none of you do. Michelle got in the car with me, and as we were driving home, she reminded me, Ryan, God did not gift you to be a singer. There are others with that gift. We shall let them sing in the future. And so in these moments of feeling like we're short-handed or we're ill-equipped to do a task, we are reminded often that it would be far better if we had a partner join us, or sometimes altogether just take the task that we shouldn't be doing. And that's okay. You have to understand, we've all been taught that if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. But sometimes, and normally we can, often we can, but that doesn't mean that we should. Just because I could put up the projector by myself, and just because I happen to already be standing up here with a microphone on, doesn't mean that I should have been putting the screen up by myself or singing that final song. Things would have been a lot better if I had somebody else who could help me out. And that's the point of today's message, where we're looking at who God has called us to be as his church, as the ecclesia, the gathered people of God. Last week we looked at, as I've already talked about, how the Bible describes us as the church as the family of God, and how that really should have a lot of implications in how we interact with one another. And today I want to show you how the Bible provides another analogy for how the church is to behave, and that is through the analogy of a body. A body that has many parts all working together to support one another. Essentially, when we think of a body of all parts working together for one singular purpose, it forces us to recognize that we are all better together. An unfortunately popular idea for many Christians right now is that, and I've already talked about this a couple weeks ago, I can have my own relationship with Jesus all by myself. I don't have to be a part of a church. I don't have to go to a church on Sundays. I can just watch the TV preacher. I can read my devotionals. I can do this all on my own. But Jesus shows us in Scripture when he says, you're a part of a body. We have to understand, it'd be really weird if you were walking down the street and you just saw a hand on the sidewalk all by itself. You'd say, why is there just a hand there? A hand doesn't belong by itself. A hand belongs as a part of the whole, the entire body. And so using the analogy of the church as a body, I want to show you how we need to be part of the body. And ultimately, we are all better as part of a body. We are better together. And now before I answer that question, how are we better together, I'm going to teach a brief grammar lesson on what we is. So we is a first person pronoun in the plural sense. So since it's first person, it means it includes me. And since it's plural, it includes a bunch of people who say me. So what we could say is that, and this is important to the message, believe it or not, me plus you equals we. That's what we is. It's me plus you. And it's not just a singular you. It's not like just me plus my wife when we're reading this, we are better together. It's really a plural of all of you alls. So I'm going to pretend I'm Southern for a moment. It's really me plus y'all that equals the we of we are better together. And now when I say that, we are better together, I'm really making two additional statements that are very important for us to understand. One of those statements is that y'all are better with me as a part of you, and I am better off as a part of y'all. These mean two very different things, right? We understand that. You all do better when I join you. You all do better when my wife joins you. You do better when Larry joins you. When every one of us in this church join in, it makes the whole stronger, right? And as individuals, we are better off as part of the whole than we are off all by ourselves. And so now I want us to open our Bibles. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we walk through an extended metaphor that Paul writes to us, describing how we operate as the body. So in 1 Corinthians, this is a letter the Apostle Paul has written to one of the churches that he established on his missionary journeys. But at the time of his writing, this church was actually a bit of a mess. Okay? It was the Gentile Greeks in the area, and the Jews who had lived in the area were all in one church, and they had spiritual gifts going on, but they were being misused. People were sinning in all sorts of messed up ways. So they were growing, and they were passionate about Jesus, but they didn't fully understand how to be in relationship with one another as the church. And so that's how what Paul is doing in this passage is he's teaching them how to relate to one another. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to kick this off in verse 12. He writes, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So, like I said, Paul's setting up this lengthy analogy of the body. And what stands out to me in the first two verses here is that the body of Christ is made up of lots of different parts. He says it's got the Jews and the Gentiles. This would have been a big stretch for them. It also has slaves and free all together. This is unheard of in other realms of society for free men and slaves to be coming together in their religious services. It's just as crazy for us here at First Baptist that we have Republicans and Democrats in our pews. We have boomers and Gen X and millennials and Gen Z all coming together in our pews to worship Jesus. We have farmers and we have businessmen all coming together to worship Jesus. That's what it means. We've got all these differences, all these different backgrounds, all these different gifts. But ultimately, we come together united in one Spirit. We come together in Christ. So we continue reading in verse 14. It says, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Paul is continuing this argument about how the body is made of many parts, and he focuses here on how the different parts serve different purposes in the body. It wasn't just to say, wow, look at all the diversity we have. there was a diversity so that there would be a diversity of function and a diversity of purpose. Different people would serve in different roles. His point here is that the body of Christ requires many different people with many different wirings and different skills and different interests to serve in different ways and in different ministries. A healthy body can't be one of only eyes, because then it couldn't hear, he says. It requires hands and feet, ears and eyes. Here at First Baptist, we need people who are organized and love to keep the kitchen clean. We also need people who love to cook meals. We need people who love to play instruments, who love to work with kids, who are detail-oriented and are willing to count the money each and every week. We need people who are friendly faces to be greeters. And we need people of all kinds, those who love to study the Bible and be Sunday school teachers, and those who are like, I'd rather just be out with people and be going to the hospital and talking with the sick. You guys understand, in all these roles I'm talking about, it's very different, typically, personalities of people to do these various things. And that's what Paul is saying. By having a lot of different types of people in the church, we're able to do a lot of different purposes. And so, in fact, we are at our best when every person is operating in the way that they are gifted and wired. And this is a challenge. As a small church, there are some of you that I see out in the pews, and I know you wear like 5 or 6 different hats in this church. And some of those hats, you're like, you know, honestly, I do it because there's no one else to do it. But this hat I could easily give away because it's not what I'm gifted in. But a church that functions best, every single person is working and serving and giving of their time the way God made them, using their gifts, using their skills and their experiences, exactly how God wired them to. If every person who volunteered in this church was operating exactly how God made them, we would be doing amazing. Sometimes, however, people have to wear 3 hats because there's nobody to do that job. However, maybe that's because there's somebody here who could do it and just hasn't said yes yet. And so the best operating bodies, the hand is doing what the hand can do, and the eye is doing only what the eye is meant to do. And that's how a healthy church is supposed to operate. And so that could sound like a pretty big challenge then for me, that my job is to try to get all of you in the right spot in that works for your gifts and for your skills and for your interests. But the Bible tells me in the very next verses that I've got some help in making sure that we're all in the right spot and we have all of our spots covered. In verse 18, we pick up and it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I'm sure that more than a few of you have at some point felt like you weren't necessarily needed in what you were doing. Maybe you were working in kids' club or in VBS and you had a whole bunch of kids running around screaming and you were trying to like lead a craft or teach a Bible story and you thought to yourself, God, how is this any help to these kids that don't feel like they are listening at all? Does this even matter what I'm doing? Or perhaps you're listening to this message right now on this series on the church, and your how you serve never appears on a schedule in the newsletter at all. And you hear this sermon and you're like, Ryan, you're just trying to guilt me into signing up for something that we need more kids workers. But every day during your devotional time, you pray regularly for this church and for our mission. You pray for people who are sick in this church. And you feel like, Ryan, you know, I don't want to serve in all the ways you serve, and I don't have a role in this church, but you pray for us every single day. If that's you, then this verse is for you. It's a reminder that sometimes your part in the body might not be a glamorous one. It might not even be one that is recognized. People don't even know what you do. You're the gallbladder. Like, we know you're here, but nobody really knows what the gallbladder does, but we're told that it's important. And this passage actually tells us that just because what you do isn't seen doesn't mean it's not important. Every part of the body serves a necessary role. Every part serves a role that is important and necessary. In fact, it says that extra honor and care should be provided to those of you who feel like you are forgotten or unimportant. So you all need to have a way to serve, but your way to serve doesn't have to mean that you have an official name tag and are on the schedule each and every week. So up to this point, up to this verse, Paul is really trying to drive home the point that the body of Christ is better with each person functioning as God has gifted them. The church, our church, will excel when each one of you, in your diversity of backgrounds, with your variety of gifts, all get together in our mission to be the family of faith for the next generation right here in Sheraton. His point is that you all are better with me as a part of you. We are better together. That's the first point that we're looking at. We all are better together. That's what I've shown you. When I am a part of you, when each one of you is a part of the whole, then the whole is better together. And the second part of that is we see in these last three verses of our passage that we're going to look at, where Paul describes the second point I made earlier, that I am better when I am a part of y'all. This is where Paul ends this analogy, verses 25 through 27. He says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Whether you feel like it or not, the statement is, you are. Okay? You may not feel that way, but you are. So start acting like it. Start recognizing that you need to be serving in your function, and you have the benefit that when you suffer, others suffer with you. When you rejoice, others rejoice with you. This is a powerful part of being in this group, this body of people who cares for one another and loves one another the way that this church is supposed to. And this is why every person who puts their faith in Jesus is expected to join the body, a local congregation in their community. Just like Paul describes, there have been moments in my life that have been very hard and very challenging. And Michelle and I got through it because we had a church family with us. I actually wrote this before we got the news of Bosco on Friday. I was thinking about all the ways in our foster care journey that we had church members step up and help us, carry us through hard times, pray for us, support us, sometimes babysit kids that we were just at our wits' end with. And then this weekend happens, and we find out that a kid that we fostered 10 years ago, and he's actually kin to our oldest adopted son, Wilson, was shot in the chest by his brother. And in an instant, I was reminded how the church family instantly stands up with us, and I know many of you have prayed for Bosco this weekend. Dawn gave Michelle a ride home on the drop of a hat Friday night, because we were already on our way to volleyball, and I'm like, well, I got to play volleyball. I'm going to compartmentalize this and shut it off. Michelle's a blubbering mess. She's got to go home. Somebody steps in and says, I'll give you a ride home. It's an hour. Instantly, I'm there for you. We had other people that in Des Moines that we reached out to as a part of our last church that were like, we need information. Like, what's going on criminally here? What's going on in the hospital? What can we do to help? And people stepped up instantly. That's how the body functions. When people are hurting, the body comes together and lifts them up. Some of you have gone through this. You've lost a spouse. You've lost a child in this church. And you've seen the body come together and help. But others aren't in the church. They go through this tough time and they have their immediate family around them, but they don't have this body that works together, this family of God who encircles people and is there to support us in our difficult times. In the same way, when we celebrate better as a body. When I have something good in my life and we celebrate it together, when we have that thanks dinner and Thanksgiving time, where we come together and I share with you all the amazing things God has been doing in this church, the way new people have been coming and the way that we're able to extend our ministries and the way that we're starting to see growth in our young people and youth group. You know, I can look at reports in my office and say, wow, this sure is neat. Attendance is going up. But it's a lot more fun to celebrate as the family, as this big body together. That's why God wants us to come together. Because when I am a part of you all here at First Baptist, my highs are higher, my lows are not so low. And I am better as a part of you all as a church. And that same statement rings true for every single one of you. You are better as a part of us than you are trying to do this journey of faith all by yourself. And one final very important piece of this biblical metaphor for the church as a body comes to us by Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He has a very short snippet that teaches the same thing he teaches to the Corinthians, but it's got an important detail you need to see. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, he writes to the church at Ephesus, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We, the church, all grow together." And notice it says that we grow together. There is a maturing process. We are not mature when we come together. We're immature. We do a lot of immature things that hurt each other. But we are in process, growing to maturity. And we are joined and held together. And we do our work together to do the job that the head wants the body to do. Right? When we think about our body, I make my hands move because my mind tells my hands to move. They don't have a mind of their own. The head dictates what my body does. And so the very important piece of this passage on the screen right now is that the head of this body, the church, is in fact Jesus Christ. Now the problem is some people think that as the pastor, I am the head of this body. And that I get to dictate whatever I want to do for this church. And worse yet is some pastors believe that lie for themselves. And they're like, well, don't question me because I'm the head of this church and I get to decide. No, I'm called to help lead this body, but the head who ultimately leads this body is Jesus. If I try to take us any direction that doesn't align with the Spirit of God and what He's telling other leaders in this church, we should have a conversation. If I showed up and said, hey guys, so we're going to sell the building, we're going to buy a piece of property, build a really cool church so that we can put strobe lights and a fog machine in it so that we can worship God better. I'm sure some of you might say, Ryan, I don't know if that's Jesus, the head of the church, telling us to do that. It feels to me like that's you with a really bad idea. And that's how the body functions together, is that ultimately, if I'm leading us somewhere, it should line up with what the Spirit of God is leading others to see. There should not be a moment where all of you go, wait, what are you talking about? We should be in alignment. I try to do that often. Last week, as I talked about being a family of faith for the next generation, I had started dropping that language with many different people for several months. I didn't have a grand statement up here, but we had reaching the next generation as a sign out there. And people came to me and they're like, yeah, I really like what you put out here. That's what we need to do. We'd been talking about being a family in various places, and people are like, yeah, that's how we relate to one another. Like, I'm checking, is what I feel like God is showing me to lead us forward, what is also the Spirit is showing you. Because I, as the leader of this church, I understand I'm not the head. I'm not the decision maker for where we go. And so this is an important part of this body analogy, is that we understand ultimately what we do as a church, who we reach and how we get there. We want to say, God, what do you want for us? And then together we decipher that and we go forward. Okay? That's a big part of what it means in understanding this body analogy. So, we have two very simple ways to apply this message for each one of us today. Some of you simply need to get more connected. And I know many of you are already very connected, and this may not apply, but there are some of you who have been doing your own thing, and you come on Sundays, and so you're kind of connected, but you really don't know many people in this church. You don't have close connection. If something happened to you, and you know you're going through a dark time, there's not that person in this church that you would call and say, I need you to be praying for me. And so your faith is very much your own. And I need to remind you, we are better when you are connected to us. And so you need to get connected by showing up. The best way, if you don't feel like you're connected to this church, is to just simply start showing up. If you're retired, come to the senior adult lunch. If you're a young adult, make it a priority to show up to the young adult. It's like volleyball last night or Friday night. We had a great time connecting there. Come to our movie nights. Come at 9 a.m. Try out a Sunday school class. Invite the people who sit around you every single Sunday. Say, hey, do you guys want to join me for dinner right after church today or next week? I'd love to get to know you better. Make an intentional decision to say, you know what? I do want to be a part of this family. I want to be more connected with the body. And so I want to start building more relationships with people. I want to go in deeper with people. So take that step and begin building those relationships to become closer in with the rest of the body. Others of you simply need to get involved. You're already connected in a lot of ways. You know that you have prayer support and you have people to talk to. You know a lot of people here. But for one reason or another, you've just kind of said, I'm not serving anywhere. I'm too busy. I've got stuff going on. And I understand that. We're all very, very busy. But God brought you here for a reason. Like, that's what the passage said. You're not here by accident. You may have this incredible skill that we need. You may have an interest or an ability to do something that we need you to be doing for us. Maybe somebody's carrying a load that they shouldn't be carrying and they're worn out, and it's because you haven't offered to step in and help in that way. We are at our best when every single person has found their role and is serving in that capacity. To this end, out in our foyer, we have team sign-up sheets right now. They're little half-page sheets. It's a list of all sorts of ministries that we have in our church. A year ago, I printed that exact same sheet, and many of you have already filled one out, and I still have that list. I didn't do the best job of using that list to get people involved, but this year I'm committed to do a better job because we are the family and we are the body and we all need to work together. But if you're new here since last March, you have not filled out one of those sheets, I can guarantee that. If you were here before last March, but you're like, Ryan, I do not remember filling one of those out, fill one out again for me, please. Just check which of those are you interested in maybe helping out with. It does not mean that you are for certain I'm locking you into that role, but it allows me to follow up with you and have a conversation and say, hey, how might you be able to help in this regard? And I know there may be some of you who look at that sheet and think, Ryan, none of these interest me. I have a totally different interest and passion, and it just doesn't line up with these traditional ministry roles in a church. That is outstanding. If that is you, please come and talk to me. It means that maybe God has made you a part of the body that we just don't have the ministry to fit you into yet. Maybe God has brought you here because you have something that he wants to start right here in this church. That's how he works. And so if that's you, come talk to me. I'd love to help you say, okay, what is your interest? How do you think you might be able to put that to use? How could we as a church minister to others using the gifts that are specifically given to you? God has not wasted any of us. There's not a person in this room that can say, there's nothing I can do to help what God is trying to do in this community. We all have something. We have to figure out what it is. How did God wire us? What kind of body part am I? And what role in this church do I best plug into? And when we all do that, we are by far the strongest and the healthiest and the most able to reach our community for Jesus. The world outside these doors is a messy, messy place. People are struggling, they're hurting, and they need the hope of Jesus. And individually, we can try to help people, but we are better together. And we do that best when we do it together as a church. So that's my invitation to each one of you, to be connected, be involved. That's what makes this body strong and making a difference for the world all around us. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray?